Dear saints, what I'm about to tell you will come as no surprise to you, and that is, the devil hates you. As individual Christians, the devil and his demons and those people he would use for his own purposes have one goal in mind. They want to destroy you, to drag you down with them into the fires of eternal death. In your baptism, you have been made an enemy of Satan. Your faith puts a target on your back. Luther put it like this: hourly, the devil seeks to destroy us all. No sooner are you baptized than the devil lies in wait for you. If possible, he would kill you in your mother's womb. He begrudges us every kernel of grain in the field, every fish, every morsel of bread, every cherry or apple, or any happy experience. The devil only wants what is bad for you, what is eternally bad for you, and he will do anything and everything in his power to ruin you. How? Satan has one primary tool: words, specifically lies. The devil lies. He has been a liar from the beginning. Those lies may be churning around in your mind due to your sinful nature. They may be lies coming to you from the culture or from the world. They may be lies that another person tells you. The devil lies about what is sinful and what is not. And when you commit a sin, he's right there lying to you, telling you that that sin cannot be forgiven. His lies stir up resentment and distrust between you and other people. He lies about good and evil, right and wrong, beauty and ugliness. The devil and all those who lie to you are described in our gospel reading in several ways: as thieves and robbers and strangers. And Jesus says we are not to listen to their lies. We are not to listen to the voice of the stranger. We are to flee from them, to not give their words any opportunity to deceive us. But as much as the devil hates you in the singular, you, the individual Christian, he hates you in the plural, you here gathered together, the church, even more. He hates that you are gathered here today with fellow Christians. For the devil knows there is strength in numbers. As it is easier for the wolf to snatch away a sheep that has wandered from the flock, so you and I are easier prey for Satan when we wander away from the Good Shepherd's church. The devil would much rather you weren't here today. But not only because there is strength in numbers, but more importantly, the devil knows that here, you hear and learn to know the voice of your Good Shepherd better than anywhere else. Satan despises your being here. For the church is marked, it is recognized by the hearing of the Shepherd's voice, by washing in the Shepherd's living water, by receiving the heavenly food from the Shepherd's table. All these things the devil hates. And he will use your weaknesses, your own indifference or laziness, your busyness. He will use your struggles and your conflicts with other sheep that are gathered here together to keep you from coming. He wants to cut you off from the source of life that you find here. This is the devil's work. Why does the devil hate us so much? The devil hates you because God loves you. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is beautiful, whatever is beloved by our Lord, the devil hates. How much does God love you? So much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Father has sent the shepherd, the good shepherd. And Jesus tells us about himself when he says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." He leads them out. A good picture for this leading out is to picture in your mind a burning building. It's an inferno, and you're in the building. And for now, you're safe. You're not injured, but you're looking for a way out, and all you see around you is smoke, and everywhere you think there might be an exit, you see flames, and you're disoriented, and you can't see your way out of this situation. And then suddenly you hear a voice yelling at you, calling out your name, firefighter, a friend. And you turn to the voice and you see a figure walking toward you. Someone has found a way through the fire to where you are. And since they found a way to you, they are able to lead you out. And you follow, and you are led out from the danger, saved from the inferno. And Jesus is like that. You have heard his voice. He has called you by name. He leads you out. Jesus knows the way through sin because he took all of your sin and nailed it to the cross. He knows the way through death because he died and rose again, and he leads you there. In baptism, he not only called you by your name, but he put his name on you and marked you, branded you as one of his sheep. And he leads you out of the darkness of sin and out of the cares and concerns of this life and out of the fear of death, literally out of the fire of eternal death, the flames doused in your baptism. The shepherd doesn't just lead us out and leave us alone. Some churches will teach that Jesus saves you, yes, there's a point in time where you become saved, and then the rest of it's sort of up to you. You kind of lead your own life, figuring out your own way, but that's not what Jesus says. No, Jesus doesn't abandon us. He leads us through life. He guides us throughout our entire lives. For Jesus knows that the devil hates you. He knows that the devil is still lurking around seeking a sheep to pluck out. And Jesus continues in our gospel reading, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Jesus goes before us, leading the way, and we follow. Did you notice the change that Jesus makes with regards to his voice? First, he tells us that the sheep hear his voice. And then he goes on to tell us that the sheep know his voice. You can hear somebody's voice once. Maybe they tell you something important, and that's great. But knowing someone's voice, that's much deeper. It's not a simple hearing. But we know the voice of the Good Shepherd when we continue and repeatedly hear it. We grow to know it more and more. From your experience as a Christian, you know that his voice is true. You know that what he says is right. You know that where his voice leads you will be good for you. You even start to love his law because you know that the words of his law are beneficial for you. And you know the Good Shepherd loves you. And you know that what he says is the best way. And notice what else knowing the shepherd's voice leads to. As you grow to know the shepherd's voice, you also grow to not know or to ignore the voice of the strangers, the false teachers, the false shepherds who would lead you away from the Good Shepherd, whose only desire is for their own gain or to kill and destroy. Think about it this way. Think of a time when you were trying to learn something new. Maybe it was a new subject in school. Maybe it was a new skill, like being a mechanic or welding or something. You didn't know anything about it at the beginning. And when you're just starting out that way and you're naive, a lot of different things sound like they may be the right way to do something. If you listen to an inexperienced person, you might be led astray. You might learn the wrong way to do whatever that thing is. All the voices sort of sound the same at the beginning. But as you learn something, as you grow and become more familiar with whatever that topic is, become more proficient in that skill or art, you learn to know what is true, and you learn to ignore voices and ideas that run contrary to what you know. So it is with the Christian life. We learn to know the shepherd's voice by reading his word, by hearing his voice read, by hearing it faithfully proclaimed from the pulpit. And we begin to ignore and discount all those other voices, all those other false teachings, all those other false shepherds. When we hear something spiritual sounding or some piece of wisdom that the world would tell us, we have to stop and think to ourselves, does that sound like the voice of my shepherd, of my Jesus? New Christians are often susceptible to strange teaching because they don't yet know better. But we too must be on our guard lest a strange voice find a foothold in our midst. And finally, Jesus tells us why. Why he came to be our shepherd. Why his work as the good shepherd and why listening to his voice is so critical for us. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The way of the world, the way of our sinful nature, the way of our culture, certainly the way of the devil, is to bring us to destruction and death. But that is not the way of Jesus. He only comes to bring life. Life in abundance. Life in abundance in his church. Life in abundance when we die and are taken to him in heaven. Life in abundance when he comes again in glory and recreates the new heavens and the new earth where we will live in eternity. He goes before us. He calls us by name. He leads us out of sin by his cross, leads us out of death through his open tomb. He goes before us and we hear his voice. May we learn to know that voice and always follow where it leads. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.